suffered a great deal. And so that's kind of what the book is about, gathering the opinions of his friends and also hearing what God has to say in the end of the book. So take a look at those questions, pick those up, and we'll begin in the month of October focusing upon the book of Job. But this morning, I want to finish up the series of messages that I've been sharing with you out of the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And the passage that I want to focus on here this morning is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 of this passage. Paul writes there, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." As I was preparing this message, I was wondering in my own mind, if I were to ask people, what traits do you find admirable that you would like to develop in your own life that you think, man, I would like to be able to have these particular traits in my life? So I thought, well, I'll just Google that particular question. I'll just ask, you know, what about those traits? What are the traits that people would like to have? So I came up with several different answers. One of the things that came up was a website where I could look at 5 personality traits to develop if you want to become more successful. I don't remember what those were. I didn't investigate that a whole lot. I was just kind of interested in what the answers might be as far as the traits and the qualities and the characteristics people would like to have. Another website that I was directed to was the top 10 qualities and skills employers are looking for. That would seem to be something that people would be interested in. You know, if you're looking to make yourself more marketable as far as employment is concerned, a job, you know, what would be those 10 qualities or skills that you could develop that might make you more likely to be hired? Another website was 6 powerful traits of people who inspire others to become their best. And I think, well, you know, that's pretty good too, because we're always wanting to encourage other people and to urge them on, and so that might be helpful. And there's nothing wrong with any of those lists, but it really wasn't what I was looking for. I was really looking for a list of traits that we as Christians, followers of Jesus, would like to develop. And you really don't have to Google that particular question in order to be able to find an answer to that question. You can find it in the Bible, in fact, that there are different lists, I guess, that you might be able to find. One of the most noteworthy lists is found in the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Those are the qualities that every one of us ought to want to have in our lives. That's the long list. How about the short list? Is there a short list? Because you say, I can't remember all of those qualities that he talks about there in Galatians chapter 4. So is there a short list that might really stick in my mind and I might be able to refer to? And I think we found it here in this passage of Scripture that we just read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I don't know whether you picked up on that or not, whether you saw some of the qualities that Paul was talking about. And in fact, Paul said, you Thessalonians, that's who he was writing to, the people there in Thessalonica, that city in northern Greece, And he says, you know what? You folks have got those in your life. You're demonstrating those. You're showing those. And not only that, you're even getting better at it than what you were before. Let's go back over that again. Let's look, see what it is. The first thing that stands out is faith. And then you got love. And then it doesn't say it in this particular word, but it's there, hope. Faith, hope, and love. Have you ever heard that list before? I think you find it throughout the New Testament. It's there. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when Paul was writing that particular chapter, the love chapter, he says, now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Well, here we got it again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, faith, hope, and love. Hey, those are the qualities that I want to possess. I hope those are the qualities that you want to possess too. I hope that you want to have faith in your life, love, and hope. And not only have them, but to be growing in them. For them to be increasing and becoming even more prevalent and more common. Let's take a look at those traits that we find here on this short list of for Christian growth. First of all, faith. Paul says to the Thessalonians, your faith is growing more and more. What a compliment. Isn't that neat? So often we think about, sometimes we think, well, hey, I'm not doing real well in certain areas. And I need to improve in these particular areas. And sometimes the writers of the New Testament, that's what they did. They wrote to the ones who were receiving their letters and they said, hey, you guys need to straighten up. You're not flying right. You need to improve in some of these areas. But Paul here, he says to the Thessalonians, you folks have got faith. And you not only got it, but you're getting more and more of it. It's growing. That's a good compliment. How important is faith anyway? Well, the Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith must have been important because in these eight chapters that are found in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul mentions this concept of faith 12 different times. So faith must have been important. It is important. It's important for you and I, or for you and me, excuse me, to develop that faith, to have that in our lives. Now, the question might be is, how big is my faith? You know, whenever you talk about faith, you can sometimes identify with people in the Bible. Not always can you identify with those people who had large amounts of faith. I mean, there were some people in the Bible who had bunches of faith. They seemed like that they just had faith that was overflowing, and obviously that was what was going on here with the Thessalonians. But there are other people, you know. You think about back in the Old Testament, and the Hebrew writer in chapter 11 of his book, he talks about all those people. You need to go back and look at the roll call of the faithful. He talks about Abel there, and he talks about Noah, and he talks about Abraham, and he talks about Isaac, and he talks about Jacob, and he talks about Moses, and he talks about various ones in the Old Testament that stood out because they had all kinds of faith. Well, there's others in the Bible who didn't have as much faith. And sometimes I'm able to identify with those people maybe more than the ones who had bunches of faith. Because I look at my faith and I wonder, just how big is my faith? Do I have a very large amount of faith? And sometimes it's the answer I get is not a good answer. No, I don't have enough faith. Do you remember the distraught father who came to Jesus? You remember he had that demon-possessed son, and Jesus had been up on the mountain He had been up there with three of his disciples, and that was where the transfiguration had taken place. He had been seen in glory there by his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he had been with Moses and Elijah, and they'd been talking about what was going to happen in Jerusalem in the days to come, how that Jesus was going to die and how he was going to be raised again. That seemed to be the topic of the conversation. What a wonderful experience that was. But while that mountaintop experience was going on, guess what? The other nine disciples were down in the valley. They were down there at the foot of the mountain, and they were wrestling with some issues there because there was a father who had brought to them his demon-possessed son and had asked them to cast the demon out, and they were unable to do that. Well, over in the Gospel of Mark, we read about this. Actually, we read about it other places in the New Testament. I think that both Matthew and Luke have this account as well. And so they brought this boy to Jesus then. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus says, ask his father, says, how long has he been like that? And the dad says, well, from childhood. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then Jesus says, if you can. Notice that's what the dad had said. If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says, what do you mean, if you can? Everything is possible for him who believes. And then the next statement that the dad says, I think, is noteworthy. This is one I can really identify with, and maybe you can identify with it as well. Maybe this is something that you sometimes feel. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Have you been there? Have you done that? That sometimes your faith is not what you know it ought to be. There's another incident in the New Testament where I can identify with some people who didn't have quite enough faith. These were the disciples. Jesus was talking to them about forgiveness. And he says to them, says, hey, if your brother sins against you, then you forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times and he comes back to you seven times and asks for forgiveness, you forgive him. And I love what the disciples say after they hear this, that they say to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And I said, oh, yeah. I need an increased faith. If that's what God wants me to do, and it is, then I need to have more faith. So how large, how big is our faith? I think we have to admit that sometimes it's not as big as what it needs to be. We need this kind of faith that Paul was commending the Thessalonians for. He says, your faith is growing. I hope our faith is growing. So is it? I may have a small faith, but is it getting bigger? I hope so. Am I taking steps to give it opportunity to grow? I hope so. In a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, we're doing our Faith Promise Rally, and I've been talking to you a little bit about our Faith Promise Rally, and I believe that Faith Promise gives us opportunity to grow in our faith. Let's just think about a hypothetical situation here. This is just sort of an imaginary type of situation. We've got an individual here who is really thinking about, you know, what should I give as far as my faith promise is concerned? And so they sit down and they begin figuring, and they said, you know, I can afford to give $10 a week to Faith Promise so that missionaries can be sent, so that the word of God can be spread throughout the world. I'm looking at my income, I'm looking at my expenses, you know, and I've got it figured out that there's $10 there that I can give toward Faith Promise. I have that amount of money available. It's not designated for anything else, okay? It's not designated for bills, and I've not set it aside for anything else. So that money is open. It's available. In fact, I've got that money right on hand right now, and I can go ahead and give that money. The question that I would ask, and I'm not saying anything about that, I'm just saying the question that I would ask is, does this give opportunity for our faith in God to grow? Probably not, because really we're depending a lot upon our own resources there. We know what we've got. We know what God has already blessed us with. And so does it require a lot of faith to give that? Well, it requires a certain amount of faith, but it doesn't require a whole lot of faith because it's already on hand and we've already got it. Let's change the circumstances just a bit. Let's say that this same individual has got $5 available in their budget. Now, this is what I'm going to be able to give, you know, $5. I figured it out. I've got $5 that I don't have earmarked for bills and for other necessities that, God has, he's made sure that I've got that amount of money. But you know what? I've heard the message. I've heard the challenge being given here concerning the need for people to know about Jesus. And I really want them to know about Jesus. And so I just feel that God wants me to give more than that $5. So if somehow God would give me an extra $5 a week, I would be able to give him $10. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask God to make that possible and just see how that works. I don't know where it's going to come from. But I just feel that that's what the Holy Spirit is telling me to do, and he's directing me to step out in faith and to ask God to provide that. And if God is faithful, if God will come through with that extra amount, then I will give it to him. Does that give opportunity for my faith to grow? Yeah, I think there's opportunity. I think it does give opportunity. Sometimes faith and the actions that we do because of our faith kind of becomes a scary thing because we're just not sure how that's going to work out. I want to share with you an old story. This has been around for a long, long time. I've heard this years ago, but it makes a point. And so maybe you've not heard it for quite some time, and so maybe you'll enjoy the little story. It's about this man who was walking along this very treacherous mountain trail. And as he's walking along, he stumbles over a rock there in the trail, and he tumbles over the ledge. And, I mean, it's a straight drop down there. And the only hope that this man has as he tumbles over the edge of the cliff there, is there is this tree, this little branch that's growing out the side of the cliff. And he thinks, man, if I can just grab a hold of that, then maybe I can keep myself alive. So as he's going by, he grabs hold. And lo and behold, there he is. He's on the branch, okay? Long ways up, even further down. What am I going to do? Nobody around. Okay, he's up there by himself, and he's hanging there. And he decides, well, maybe I need to ask God to help me. Hey, duh, that would be a good idea. So he says, God, are you up there? And God chooses at that particular point in time to say, or to answer him, says, yes, I'm up here. And says, God, can you help me? And God says, yes, I can help you. And the guy says, what do you want me to do? And God says, let go. And the guy says, is there anybody else up there? sometimes you just got to let go and let God take control in order to be able to grow in our faith. And I don't know how the Thessalonians grew in their faith. I think we'll look at one of the ways in which they grew in their faith here in just a little bit as we continue to look at this passage of Scripture. But faith was something that they were excelling at, that they were really beginning to demonstrate large amounts of faith. God, please increase my faith. Please increase your faith. That's on the short list. One of the other items here is love. Love. And what is it Paul says about the love that was present in the Thessalonian congregation? It says, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. It's growing. It's increasing. So how important is love? And you say, well, hey, come on. Love is very important. That's a major part of being a Christian. You know, you love. Sure it is. I mean, you know that because of two of the greatest commandments that, Jesus pointed them out as the two greatest commandments. And you remember what they are. I mean, he was asked because there were all kinds of commandments. There were over 400 commandments that the teachers of the law had figured out. And so in order to entrap Jesus and to just see if he was really thinking like he ought to, they ask him one day, says, Master, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, well, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the greatest commandment of all. And then the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments, and each one of them deals with love. So we know that love is mighty important. Jesus said it was. How important is love? Well, the one great conclusion, we'll call it that we read about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it also tells us how important love is. John there in that passage, here's what he says. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's the conclusion that John draws, that if you don't love, then you don't know God. So how important is love? Yeah, pretty important. Absolutely essential. Now, Paul says that the Thessalonians' love was growing. It was increasing. And I have to ask myself, is my love increasing? Is it getting more and more? And I say, sure. You know, I think that I can stand before you here this morning, and I think I can tell you confidently that I love Jesus more today than what I loved him in the past. Maybe you can say the same thing. However, that's not the kind of love that Paul was talking about here in this passage of Scripture. He's not talking about our love for Jesus. And that's not saying that our love for Jesus isn't important, because it is. But he's talking about another kind of love. And notice, let me go back and read that. It says, and the love every one of you has for each other. Loving each other. That's the kind of love that Paul was talking about. And so I got to ask myself the question, do I love others more than what I did before? And that's not always easy, loving others, because for whatever reason, sometimes they are pretty unlovable. And if the truth be known, I'm pretty unlovable as well. So it's pretty well balances out there, I guess. So how can I have an increasing love? How can I make sure that my love grows and that I have this quality or trait here as far as my life is concerned? Well, let's go back here to the first letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 9. See what he says there. He says there, now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Their love was increasing, but they had a good teacher, didn't they? And I'm not talking necessarily about the Apostle Paul. It says that God himself was the one who was teaching them to love. So we have to depend upon God to teach us how to love more. And Jesus certainly did that in his ministry. He taught his disciples how to love. And if we look at his life and we read the Gospels and we see how he interacted with people, then he becomes our teacher. Do you remember the encounter that Jesus had with the rich young ruler? Do you remember him? He was the guy who came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you need to keep the commandments. And he says, well, which ones? And so Jesus named off several of them. And this young man says, well, I've kept all of those since I've been a boy. The Gospel of Mark tells us something that the other Gospels doesn't. It says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He looked at him and loved him. Do you think that he loved him because he had kept all those commandments? Do you think that was the reason? Or do you think he loved him despite the fact that he seemed to be rather arrogant and rather self-confident? Hey, I've kept all those commandments. You know, I've not killed and I've not stolen and I've not committed adultery and I've not bore false testimony. Jesus never did say anything about coveting in that passage of Scripture, the 10th commandment. Maybe he purposefully left that off because that would have been a rather incriminating commandment for this young man. He was rich, and probably that was one of the issues that he dealt with in his life, that he coveted. But anyway, he says, hey, I've kept all these commandments. And Jesus loved him, despite the fact that he probably hadn't. Not in the way Jesus would have us to keep those commandments. Jesus, after hearing the report from his disciples about how they had gone and preached and taught and healed, he says, you need to come away for a little while. And let's get away from the crowd so that you can rest, so that you can recuperate. And whenever they got out of the boat, guess what? Here's all these people. All these people have come, and they're still knocking on Jesus' door, if you want to call it that, still wanting attention. And the Bible says that he received them. He loved them. He cared for them. Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem and he cried because he saw that as a city that was doomed for destruction. He says, you've killed the prophets, you've stoned those who have come to you. And he loved. That's the kind of individual Jesus was. Just as in the area of faith where we have to have opportunities to grow in our faith, so it is in the area of love. If we want to love one another more and more, then I believe that God, and I don't like this at all, but this I think is what God's plan is for me, that he leads us to difficult people so that we can learn to love even more. Because how are you going to learn to love other people if the only people that you're around are people that you like and people that are easy to get along with? So love. And then the final one here is hope. Going back to this passage in 2 Thessalonians, it says, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. There was hope that existed in the lives of those Thessalonian Christians. They had a need for hope. Hope, by the way, is the feeling of expectation with a desire for certain things to happen. But from the Christian perspective, it's a little bit more than that. It's also a favorable and confident expectation. That, yeah, we're hoping, but we have some confidence about it because we know in whom we have hoped, that it's God that we've placed our hope in. So the need for hope, it becomes very clear. These people were suffering persecution. They were going through trials. It was not easy being a Christian, and it was hope that was sustaining them. That's the source. Well, let's look here. What was the source of that hope? And I believe it had to do with their hope in the coming of Jesus. If you go back here to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." So what was their hope? Well, then he launches into this description of what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. He says to them, Jesus is coming. And that's the reason for your hope. That's the basis for your hope, that he is going to come. And he's going to take you home. We need that kind of hope. The very last thing that he says in that chapter 4, he says, "Therefore encourage each other with these words." Delane was talking about it a while ago at the communion table, how our lives seem to just sometimes be going crazy. I mean, nothing seems to be as it ought to be. We live in crazy times. Folks, our hope is that God, our assurance is that God is in control and that he is going to make things work out. We need to encourage each other in this. Faith, hope, and love. Do you have them in your life? If you don't have Jesus in your life, then you certainly don't have the hope that you need. You don't have the faith that you need to have. You don't have the love that you need to have. It's only through Christ that we are able to possess these qualities. Faith, hope, and love. We're going to sing an invitation song this morning. That invitation song is an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus, for you to make another kind of decision, if that might be upon your heart, upon your mind. And so we offer this as an invitation. We invite people to come forward if they have a decision they want to make public.